It reminds me, that's my God. This is what Daniel's doing. You're an awesome God. You keep your covenants, keep your promises. You are a merciful God, and you are merciful to those who love you and those who keep your commandments. And also write Psalm 100, verse 4, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's the first thing that the priests did before they came to the presence of the Lord. Verse 5. Now watch this. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. What's the we thing going on? There are two people that I'm familiar with in the Bible that nothing bad is said about them. We know that they did bad things because everybody sins. But there are only two individuals that the Bible says nothing bad against. Joseph was one. And that makes sense to me because Joseph is a model of Jesus Christ. In over 100 different ways, Joseph, the 11th son, Jacob, is a model of our Lord. And the other is Daniel. Nothing bad is said about him. And then yet he's saying, we have sinned, including himself. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled. That's not true of Daniel, especially the one I've been watching in the book of Daniel. But here's what he's doing. Number 4. He's confessing specific sins. And for you intercessors out there, Moses did it. The Apostle Paul does it. Once you've really been apprehended by what you have been forgiven of, oh my, what he has forgiven me of, then you never look at anybody else like, look at that loser. Look at that joker over there. Lord, I help you. I hope you help that guy. Because boy, does he need it. Intercessors who have been spending a lot of time with God, they realize that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's a powerful thing. But number 4, confession of specific sins. Here Daniel is taking responsibility for the sins of his people and his nation. And by the way, Daniel knows 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. You bet he does. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive them their sins, and I will heal their land. That's what he's doing. It's a picture of intercession. Verse 6. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets. We haven't been reading our Bible and we haven't been listening or doing your Bible. Who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and to all the people of the land. O Lord, verse 7. Righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face as it is this day. You guys, this is a model of intercessory prayer, even for America. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed to you. He knows what Deuteronomy 28 has said. You don't listen to me and don't obey my commandments. I'm taking you out to a whole nother land. For you Bible students, that's Deuteronomy 28, verse 49 to 62. Verse 8, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, to our principals, and to our fathers, to our congressmen, and to our, you know, all the way up and down the line. It's true in Daniel's case, it's true of America. Because we have sinned against you, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Verse 10, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord of our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. He told us what we were supposed to do, told us plainly what we were not supposed to do. We didn't listen. Verse 11, Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, Deuteronomy 28, verse 49 through 62, Moses, the servant of God, all those judgments have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. We are in this 70-year occupation because we did it to ourselves, just like you said, Lord. Verse 12. And he, the Lord, has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster, and under the whole heaven, such has never been done to what has been done to Jerusalem. Verse 13. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer, really our repentance, 2 Chronicles 7:14, before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore, and that's why, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, that we have not obeyed his voice. Hey, was it true of Israel, you guys? Is it true of America? Psalm 19, verses 8 and 9. Let me read that to you. The psalmist says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. On judgment day, says the book of Revelation, everybody descending into the lake of fire, do you know what everybody says? True and righteous are your judgments, O Lord. We get our new bodies to live forever with the Lord. Those who rejected Jesus' work on the cross in the New Testament and refused God's witness of conscience in the Old Testament and they died in their sin, they get a brand new body as well. And like our new bodies, our brains were suddenly expanded greatly, and then we know as we are known. That is an aha moment that we're all, whoa, the glorious and the beauteousness of the Lord is instantly understood. It's going to be a glorious time. At the second death, the last resurrection, at the end of the 1,000-year reign, when they get their brand new bodies, the dead who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, their brains will be greatly expanded as well. And they too, in a moment's time, are going to see every time they refused somebody's witness or praying for them and refused the invitation to receive Jesus. The book of Revelation says that all the books are opened and everybody's sin is detailed. Those that were done in the flesh and those that were accomplished in the heart. I don't think anybody says a thing. When Hades and death gave up its dead, they get their brand new bodies. They know instantaneously as they are known, and they know immediately. Righteous and true are your judgments, O Lord, as they descend and the door is closed. You know who else is going to say, true and righteous are your judgments? Lucifer. He's going to say it too at one point. Which brings us to point number 5. If you're taking notes, number 5 is realize that everything God allows to touch my life is for an eternal purpose. Draw me closer to him. That's what he's doing. Like Paul in the book of Acts chapter 14. You remember that? God sent Paul, a messenger. Paul's like, do we go to Asia? Do we go to Europe? And God sends a messenger to him Come over here, says the man from Macedonia or Europe. So he says, yes, sir. And he ends up there in Philippi. You remember the story, Acts chapter 14. They cast a demon out of a gal and they beat them severely, Paul and Silas, and they throw them into the innermost prison. And about midnight, what did they do? They begin to praise God. Oh my. Because Paul knew, Silas knew, God called us here, and whatever God is allowing to touch my life, praise His name. It has an eternal purpose. And Lord, if you want to use this in my life for your glory, then praise be to your name. In Paul's instance, not only did his chains fall off, do you remember who else's chains fell off to? All the prisoners who were. Oh, it was a powerful day. Powerful day. When Paul and Silas arrived, and there weren't 10 Jewish men in the area to form a synagogue, so they had to meet down by the river. That's where they met Lydia, the seller of purple. And then everything happened. And then, not that long later, Paul comes back through on his third missionary journey, and he talks to the elders there at Philippi. And you put the math together, that's not a lot of time. There weren't a lot of men at the river. Who were the men that became the elders of the church of Philippi? Likely the criminals who were in the prison. It's not a stretch. But there wasn't enough time. Where did they come from? I'm sure some of them weren't in the prison, but I'll bet you a billion angel bucks that most of them were there that night, singing their own sorrows. What a terrible lot that I've been given. What a lousy deck of cards I've received. And then they throw Paul and Silas at the bottom. Oh, look at these Christian guys. Look at them beat up. Let's see what your God's going to do for you now. And they listen for the murmuring and the complaining. And instead, what did they hear? Praises to God. And the earthquake shook the prison. And the doors sprung open. And all of the what? Chains fell off. I don't know about you, but I'm going to follow somebody who has that kind of ministry. Verse 15. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is today, we have sinned and we have done wickedly. Verse 16. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those who are around us. Because of our lousy witness and because you are a God of righteousness and you do what you say, you told us you would take us out of the land. You told us that people would walk by the ruins of Jerusalem while we were in captivity and go, oh my. I wonder whose God those guys are in that city. Our witness for God has been awful, causing non-believers to mock you. Daniel taking full responsibility. Verse 17, now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. And for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. If you've been taking notes, number one, because I've been in the Word, the conversation with God began. Number two, because I've been fasting or denying self, I've turned down the volume of self, and now I'm listening. And number three, because I've been thankful, my selfish heart has been adjusted. I've moved from consumer Christian to a worshiper. But I really think there's a real spirit of that in these last days. Where do you go to church? I go to this church. Ooh, that's cool. They've got this and they've got those and they've got all these things. And there's so much fun and there's a lot of stuff going on. And that's lots of wonderful programs. And if we're not careful, I think we might get into a church with a notion, what do you got for me, church? And that's not what it's about. Church isn't for me. It's for Him. And to knock that consumer Christianity out of my brain and become a worshiper, start with thanksgiving. And then moving from look how bad I have it to look what God has done for me. And then number four, I've confessed specific sin. When we confess our sin, it's not letting Him know what I've been up to. When we confess our sin before the Lord, I'm sort of admitting myself that it is a sin. No more excuses. It's a coping mechanism. Don't you understand? It relieves and releases the pressure, whatever it might be. We've surrounded our sin with some pearlescent coat of excuses. When we finally say, you know what that is? That is a sin. God already knew it. He paid for it, praise God. It's what we needed to do. I'm not hiding anymore. I'm taking responsibility for my sin. Search me, O God. Psalm 139. And then number five, realize that everything God allows to touch my life has an eternal purpose. And then I can sing in the dark, like Paul and Silas in Acts 14, and I get free, and not only do I get free, but potentially those around me might find the path to freedom themselves. And now number six, if you're taking notes, now with this kind of heart, I'm ready for my petition. John 14 verse 13 says, Jesus, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. How many of you read that and go, yeah, that's me a little funny, because I've prayed some stuff in Jesus' name and it didn't happen. What this means is not you just put Jesus' name on the end of it and it becomes a kind of a heavenly credit card and God's got to cash it. Praying whatever in my name means according to my character. And if you've been points 1 through 5, like Daniel has been, then this is also true of you. John 15, verse 7. If you, Harvest Family, abide in me, you're living and living and living in my word. And my words abide in you. You're thinking about them, chewing them over and over. Then you will ask what you desire. Why? Because your desire will be my will in my word. That's when it comes true. Verse 18, we're almost done. And oh my God, incline your ear and hear, and open your eyes and see our desolations, and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds. We don't deserve anything from you. But because of your great mercies. Amen, you guys? Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. And oh, Lord, listen and act. And do not delay. For your sake, my God. For your city. Which is to say, your promise. How many promises are centered literally on Israel living in the land and having Jerusalem as their capital? And we're living in that age right now. For your city and for your people are called by your name. And here's point number 7. Revelation is coming. Because starting in verse 20 and following, oh my, the greatest, in my opinion, the most extensive and the most crucial and important prophecy of all is about to come. All end times Bible prophecy need to fit around this frame, because if you don't, then your eschatology is going to get wacky. And the greatest revelation of all time, came to Daniel after, number 1, he's in the Word a lot. harvesting need a revelation, oh, stay in the Word. Number two, sometimes you got to fast. You got to turn down the volume of the self. Number three, are you thankful? Go from consumer Christian to a worshiper, humbled, blown away by a holy God. And number four, have you confessed your specific sin? Don't beat around the bush. Call it for what it is. Search me, O God, and take responsibility. I do this because of what she did. No, I do this because of what he's done. I don't go to church because some pastor blew me out of the water. What does God's word say? Forsake not the gathering of yourselves together. Go to church. But and then you insert your excuse. Is that a sin of sorts? Yeah, that's why I don't go to church. Oh, really? Your Bible says go to church. But that's number four. That's a specific sin. And then number five, realize that everything God allows to touch my life has an eternal purpose. Then you too can sing in the dark. Then ask. And then number seven, I believe, get ready for revelation. And ask God to give you the eyes to see it. Amen? Let's all stand together. Lord, I do want to thank you, Lord, that there really is something special about when the brethren get together. It's not easy to get here, Lord. And Father, thank you that many in this room on a Wednesday night, they know that familiar nagging thing of convenience. Don't go. Just hang out. You need to rest. Some of us, Lord, we need to set aside our convenience by getting out of bed a little earlier. Some of us, Lord, we need to deny the self at a bit more passionate of a level. We've been running so fast, the self is so loud. No wonder we have missed your still small voice. Lord, if there is revelation needed in this room, if there's any of your beloved Lord God that it's been a while since they have heard your voice, oh Lord, let us read verses 1 through 19 in Daniel, maybe again a bit later. And by your grace, Lord, let your revelation come. What am I going to do with that spouse of mine? What's going to happen in the world? Oh, how am I going to make that payment? Get quiet before the Lord. Do a Daniel thing. And watch God's revelation present itself. I thank you, Lord. And I thank you for your word and your spirit. And I thank you for your amazing grace and the ocean of love you consistently pour out and through my stiff old heart. Oh, you love me, Lord, and I thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name, and all the beloved of the Lord said, Amen.